All right, so we're here covering the 2010 elections in Ward 8, Jane and Finch Community. I'm with Antonius Jamal Clark. How are you today?
Fantastic.
Awesome. Are you comfortable with me saying the full name?
Please, Antonius Clark is better.
Okay. It's good to have you here with us today.
Thank you.
So I have a series of questions for you.
That's correct.
All right. So would you share with our viewers a little bit about your political career?
I don't have much of a political career. I have more of a community working career. Advocate for a long time in the community. Wherever there is an issue to be advocated for, I am there to advocate for it, so long as it's morally and, you know, principally intact, along with my beliefs, I'm there. But I'm realizing that there's only so much one could do from advocacy. And to get more, you need to do more. To do more, you need to get more. And that's what inspired me to move politically.
All right. So while you're out there campaigning and making relationships and connections, what is your sense on what the community feels about you or thinks about you?
They hate me, they love me, they adore me, they can't do without me. I say that because there's a portion of the community that doesn't want to see change, and there is racism, and there is envy and jealousy. So there is those that won't support you because they're like, why couldn't I be doing that? There's those that won't support you because they're like, no, you don't look right. And then there's those that are saying, finally, you're doing this. We're going to support you. And then there's those that are saying, you know what? You don't look like us, but we'd rather you than the other guys, because although they look like us, they're not helping none of us. So it's mixed, and I think that's beautiful. So it keeps me on my toes. I don't know if I'm a winner. I don't know if I'm a loser. I just got to keep going.
All right. Now, you've been involved in the community. You have a legacy here. Can you share some of the initiatives you've been a part of and perhaps some of the stuff you're currently involved in?
Well, I don't dibble and dabble. I'm not a part of many initiatives because I don't believe in the principles, and I don't believe that the people that are doing them are genuine. So I've been stuck in my own corner, and I've been doing Friends in Trouble Youth Initiative. There's a lot of other great things happening, but unfortunately I haven't been able to put my time there because I had to put most of my energy where I thought it was the most effective. And I've been the executive director for the last 5 to 6 years out of Townsley Park, serving Jane and Finch in the GTA. But like I said, wherever there's another issue from another group that needs to be advocated for, I'm there to advocate alongside with them.
Okay.
You should know that I'm with you all the time, most of the time.
So I'm going to ask you a series of questions around issue-based.
Correct.
All right. So what are your thoughts on policing in the community?
I know that there's an issue around policing. I believe that we do not need more police. We need effective police. Even if you get 1,000 more cops in the streets, it's not going to solve crime, because ideally, or in principle, what happens when there is crime, the police come after. They respond to crime. They're not there when the crime is being committed. So what we need is effective policing, where the police and the community has a better relationship and there is a stronger rapport. So when the crime is committed, there is not this ideology of zero tolerance and no snitching, whatever it may be, but that they're working together to fight crime.
All right. And what are your thoughts on arts and culture?
We all need arts. We all need arts, and arts in some way expresses culture. I believe that Jane and Finch is the most multicultural place on the face of the planet, because the Toronto is, and the Toronto is then that. Jane and Finch is the epitome of that. We need to express as much more as we can, and I think this arts hub is a very small place, and it could have been a lot bigger. It could have expanded into the field, and we could have shown that there's a lot more to do. But like many would say, arts is, Canadians are starving artists,
mm-hmm.
You know, so we need to do more to empower our artists in this country, in this city.
All right. And what are your thoughts on economic opportunities and employment?
I believe that economic opportunities and employment, they're there for the people so long as they're ambitious enough to go after them. But we always know that there are barriers and there are glass ceilings. And with that, I believe that more need to advocate and we need to increase more. I mean, there's a lot of money that's being spent in the community, but it doesn't stay in the community. So they're going to invest, let's say, $1 million here for this or that, and then people from outside the community will come here and do the work and take the money back to their community. What I'd like to see is that when the economic investment is made in the community, that the people are skilled and trained to then work in the community so that the money stays in the community and the development is shown here.
Mm-hmm. Now, TTC expenditure is the news right now. It's been the news. What are your thoughts in terms of not just the TTC expenditure, but guaranteed employment opportunities with this project within the community for our community.
And that's a perfect example. The amount of money that's going to be invested in the community for that work to be done versus the amount of people who are going to be employed from the community to do that work is going to show that there's a great money that's going to be invested here, but the people who come to work on this are going to not live here and they're going to take that money back to their communities. I like to see that there's a lot of apprenticeships happening and a lot of people are trained and skilled or get the skill development to then work on these projects so that when the money is spent here, it stays here, right? I think it's a perfect opportunity to empower a community and to have us going towards development.
Right. Now, a follow-up to that one, it would be, how would that be possible? How would you take those steps in securing employment for our community?
People need to be trained, whether it be through the trades. There's a lot of local unions around here, North of Steel, I would say. And just a partnership needs to be made between the unions and the community, get the people more trade savvy, and have them come back and work on these developments.
Okay. We have a small victory in the Jane Finch community around keeping our schools open. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on that in terms of them coming back?
Well, I was a part of that fight, and I would say that it's a small victory, but I don't think it's a sure victory. There is a political process that's going through right now, and I believe once it's finished, we'd understand if it's truly a victory or if it's just a pacifier to get people elected again to continue the fight. I would wait to see, but at the end of the day, I expect us to be victorious in Jane Finch.
All right. Now, in terms of education, post-secondary education, there's a lot of systems within our school board that is hindering the success of our kids. So our graduation is less, our students aren't graduating, there are certain Safe Schools Act things in place to really inhibit the success of our young people. What's your strategy or your thoughts on bridging the gap with post-secondary or trade schooling?
It's a good question. You know, I won't blame it too much on the schools. I believe if a person wants to rise, they're going to rise. I mean, I was kicked out of school when the Safe Schools Act first came out. And that never prevented me from moving forward and going to university, what have you. I think people need to just fight more. But there are issues that we need to tackle. But overall, the issues that are preventing people from moving forward in life are not just because of the schooling. It comes back to the community, and it comes back to the structure of the homes and what have you, the economic output and input. If I'm distracted at home and I need to get a job to support my family, I'm not thinking about post-secondary, I'm thinking about the immediate. If my brother got shot and I need to defend that, if I'm in jail and I come out of jail and there's nothing more for me, education is not a stimulation, it's not an aspiration that I want to accomplish. So I believe we need to focus on all the ills that stem from poverty, and in addressing all the ills that stem from poverty, if people would have that holistic healing, and in healing them holistically, they'll be able to move forward. Bridging the gap is simple, but it's just to identify where the gap truly is. And a lot of people tend to focus on all the things that are fruits of, but not the actual seed of, right? So we need to go to the seed and not the fruit. That makes sense?
Makes sense.
Fantastic.
All right. What are your thoughts on social housing?
Wow. I believe that there's too much social housing in Jane Finch. I believe that it's a trap that was once used to maneuver people into poverty and to displace them indefinitely for however long, I don't know. But I've came to Canada for over 25 years, and people that I've seen in the housing are still in the housing. Is it their fault? No. Could that something be done to inspire and to move them forward? Yes. I believe that we need more mixed residential housing. I believe that there should be co-op housing. We see that the city has proven to be a landlord that is absent, right? A slumlord, more to speak of. And if we were to build more co-op housing, I believe that a neighbor would be more inspired to do something if they've seen their neighbor that is more progressive in life. But if I look next door and my neighbor is as poor as I am, and we're all complacent and we're all under the same problems, no one is inspired and no one is challenged to do something. So I think social housing is something that was a great idea, but like we know, the road to hell was paved with good intentions. And in the return of it, there's bed bugs, there's roaches, there's mice, and no one deserves to live in that condition. And their idea is to break down the social housing and build condos, move the people into other social housings in the other parts of the city, and the condos go back to the rich. I believe that we should break down certain areas, we should rebuild them, and we should create mixed residential housing, co-op housing, and that the people should have the first opportunity to move back into these houses. And at that point in time, I believe that the social housing investment would be one that is progressive.
So follow-up to that is there's gentrification, revitalization. We know it's happening, it's been happening in the city, and it's coming to Jane and Finch. What are your thoughts around revitalization, gentrification?
These are just great words that a lot of people throw around. Revitalization is imperative. Gentrification is a sad narrative, but I don't think anyone in this community should be worried about gentrification as I move into council. But we should all look towards embracing revitalization, because we need to revitalize the community. The community has become complacent, depressed. They don't have hope in the system, nor do I blame them. But in revitalizing is to inspire the people and to make a new face for the community and uplift and change the mess. Like, I mean, I've seen candidates planting flowers in the community, and the flowers died within 2 days, right? Why not plant roses that would take root and every year sprout again, right? Don't give me a flower that has a 2-day shelf life. Don't fix the front of my building and leave my elevators broken. Fix concretely, make real long-lasting change. And that's revitalization. Don't graffiti my walls and tell me that that's gonna uplift the community. Paint the buildings over again. We don't want graffiti. We want good housing. We want to see real change. You know, hardwood floors, all these things, laminate floors if hardwood is too much, but give some real change. That's revitalization.
All right. What are your thoughts around the hospital coalition or the Saving Our Hospital movement that's happening in the community?
Well, I'm a part of that coalition as well. And speaking to Rennie, the one that heads it, the hospital is a lost cause. It's gone. There is no saving the hospital. The only way the hospital will be saved is if we have a election and a conservative government comes into place. But right now it seems to be a done deal. And with that being said, what we need to focus on is improving the quality of service in walk-in clinics in the community. Because personally, when I go to the doctor in the community, I'm waiting for an hour and a half to 2 hours to see my physician. And then they tell me one problem at a time. So if my toe, my finger, and my head hurts, he tells me, choose one. And I'm here for all of these issues, right? I think we need to improve the quality of service here. I believe it's a shame that we're losing our hospital, because we have the land here. We have more land here than there are building currently for the new site. But the fight must be continued, and the alternative to that space that is being changed to ambulatory care is to build a geriatric center of excellence where the aging population of this community could know that there's an old folks home that's up to standard and that is going to be there for them as they move on with their lives, to leave life.
So what's the impact? You're making a statement that the hospital's already gone. What is the impact on the community?
People are not going to realize until it's gone. Sadly, you don't know what you got until it's gone. You know the song, right? Don't get me on that jingle. But the impact is going to be immense, because we're going to see a lot of jobs leave, right? I'm not sure of how many people locally are employed at the hospital, but I know my mother was employed at the hospital, and she hurt herself, so it's no longer that. But there's a lot of people that actually come to Jane and Finch, work in Jane and Finch, because of that hospital. When that is gone, they are gone. The hospital there cannot deal with gunshot wounds with the stereotype, so I don't think that's going to save a life. But if someone gets into an accident on the 400, for instance, now they're going to have to travel from the 400 to the 401. And I don't know if you drive, but everyone knows that the merging from the 401 to the 400 or the 400 to the 401 is crazy, right? So you're more likely to die getting to the new hospital. I personally think that the quality of service at the hospital is terrible, right? And I think it's because it's in the Jane and Finch community. But going where it's going now is still going to be the same place. Racism doesn't change because of geography. When the person of racialized background reaches there, they are treated a certain way. It's going to be terrible. It's going to be a negative impact. I just want to see that when the hospital is gone, if we don't have a conservative government, it would stay. If it's gone, that something proper is done with that site, because it's a great site. The last thing I want to see is condominiums over there.
So poverty. When we talk about it, this disparity that exists between rich and poor is growing. And when we look at our community in the 70s, this was a middle-class community, now in majority living below the poverty line. What are your thoughts in terms of like the big picture of poverty? So that's accessing quality childcare, that's schooling, that's the bigger picture of poverty. What are your thoughts?
You see, these are great, huge questions. My thoughts are many. Are you asking me how to fight poverty? Are you asking me what do I think about poverty? Are you asking me what does poverty mean to me?
In terms of your role, if you were to win this election.
When I win.
When you win.
What I'll do is I'll fight to keep the money, like I said, keep the dollar that's invested here, right? There's a lot of money in Janet Finch, and we don't see that, right? The developers, the private condominiums, the amount of rent they collect, the industries, the businesses, the amount of money that they generate is immense. Mm-hmm. What ends up happening is they take the money out of this community and go on with their lives. I would demand that they invest something back here. I mean, you've made so much dollars on the back of the poor. It's time that you reinvest and help uplift the people. And believe you me, I would fight to the end.
I believe you, Jamal.
Trust me.
I do believe you.
But it needs to happen. And I think once that happens, like put it like this, their money's here, but it's all under the carpet. I would make it come out to the open so people could actually see the beautiful things of Janet Finch. If you take the time to knock doors with me one day and go on the back roads, you'd see that there's beautiful homes,
oh, yes,
right?
Yes.
Beautiful lawns. This is a beautiful community. The pockets of poverty are pockets of poverty. And if everyone takes a dollar towards the pockets of poverty, we would be a lot better because we're not a poor community.
Mm-hmm.
We're just really marginalized where we are marginalized. So let's spread it out.
Let's
make a difference. Let's challenge those who have to give back.
Okay. What's your vision, your big vision for the future of Jane and Finch Ward 8?
I don't have a big vision. I have a very small vision for the community. I think if I have a big vision, I'll lose sight of it somewhere, somehow. I was talking to a older Italian guy today, and he said to me, have one goal and accomplish it. Don't worry about criticizing the other guys, and don't worry about saying 100 things. Find one thing and do it. I'm going to advocate for the community. The community for a long time has been trying to advocate for itself, but no one realized that you can't advocate out of the problem that you are in. I mean, the crab has to get out the bucket to go to the sea and say, there's a bunch of crabs in the bucket, let's go back and turn it over,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's a matter of saying, you know what, you are the experts, you know what you want, and support you. Because I'm sure in your plight, as you have tried to advocate in the community, you've knocked on the counselor's doors, right? You've knocked on the MP's doors, you've knocked on the MPP's doors, and the doors don't open, right? So it's time that you knock on my door, and I open it, and I serve you. You ask them to come to your event, they don't show up. But when it's close to election time, when they see that Antonius Clark is running, they show up because it's like, whoa, if we don't do this, he's gonna do that. So it's time that we get some real representation and some real support, and I'll help you fight down in the city to get something back here.
All right. If you're willing to share, we also are gonna be dealing with trustees.
Okay.
Is there anybody you're supporting, both or either public and Catholic?
That's interesting. I heard that Tom is running for the Catholic school board. I thought that was very interesting.
Tom?
I don't know the last name, but Tom used to work for Anthony.
Okay.
I heard Stephanie Payne is running for the public, and Michael Sullivan.
Mm-hmm.
I hope the best one wins.
All right.
Yes.
So to just go a little bit bigger, anybody you're looking at in terms of the mayor?
I heard Rob Ford might win. I heard Joe Pantolini is batting for the city, and he's embracing cricket. I think that's a strategic move. I heard George Smitherman may take it all, but I'm waiting to see. You know, the problem is a lot of people say they're going to support a candidate, and when they get to the ballot, something miraculous happens in their minds, and they go for who they go for.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what happens.
Okay.
I will be voting, though.
All right.
So
just to wrap up, would you like to share any words to your voting constituency to take with them on election day?
God bless you. What more can I say?
Right.
Thank you
so much, Jamal.
Thank you.